Thank you for joining Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. As John Hay, one of the most famous men of the 19th century, once said, all the great prizes in life are just around the corner. Let's go there together.
Well, over the years with Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield, we've had some great opportunities to interview people that are old-time friends, some that are brand new, and some that I've just gotten to know. Well, I have the honor of going with the first category today. George Soroyan is a friend of mine and has been for a number of years. He and his wife, Savannah, have done the ultimate American dream. They have started a business, and they are doing very, very well. And for those of us who have been involved in the business community, we all need encouragement. For those of you who have not yet become entrepreneurs, you would like to, George's story and Savannah's story will be one that encourages you greatly. So with that brief opening, George, I welcome you to Just Around the Corner. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, George, you and Savannah have been married how many years now?
This month, we just celebrated 31.
31 years. And no divorce, but threats of homicide, though, often. Is that right?
I plead the fifth.
especially when an individual or a couple gets involved in business together, the second category sometimes feels like what they want to do. But you know what? It can also incredibly so bring people together. People who never thought that they could work together suddenly are working together. And for the benefit of our viewers and listeners, George, share about how you and Savannah over these 31 years ultimately came to the point where you decided, let's start a business, and then describe what that business is.
Yeah, great question. It happened in 2016. We had a very small tax return, and we thought we'd invest it wisely. So obviously, we felt led by the Lord to take a shot at this, which was the food business. So she had been a caterer for a number of years. And one of the menu items that was requested time and time again, regardless of the ethnic food that she was serving, was hummus. And so I just asked her, I said, well, what if we just try hummus at the farmer's market? So we ventured out. I think it was the last weekend in June of 2016, took 100 units with us and sold out. So I'm obviously paring this way down to one sentence on that. But the Lord opened up many doors and continues to open up many doors for this to happen. And that particular door was a kitchen at a local coffee house called Awakenings. And our good friends from church owned it at the time and offered us the keys after hours to take over the kitchen and produce our hummus.
Did you know anything about marketing hummus? I mean, what was your background to have your wife say, yeah, let's do this, and suddenly you go, no, does hummus have two M's or one? I mean, let alone whatever's in hummus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so there's the beauty of what you had talked about earlier, being married and working together, right? So her strengths are food. My strengths are sales and marketing. So it was a perfect compliment. And had I ever promoted food? Yes, in a very small way. I helped her family member promote a sandwich shop in Southern California. So I had a little bit of experience, but mainly it was in finance and tech. So, but marketing's marketing. Sales is sales. So
this local market that they're all over the United States. They're in every city. Was it hard to get into the particular one that you mentioned?
No, actually, very. I wouldn't say very easy, but easier than I thought. Boise is a very nurturing town when it comes to businesses. Not only is the city, but the vendors there were very helpful to guide us and encourage us. Couldn't ask for a better platform. It was awesome.
Now, we're talking about food. So the immediate thing that goes through my mind as a business coach, as a person who had a limited experience in the food industry when I was a waiter back in the college days, was did you have to go through any like health screening to determine that you weren't, you know, bringing about something that could hurt people?
Yes. So we did get to that point where we had to test our food, test the, what they call the pH level, you know, the acidity level of the food to make sure it could last. And so we did get there very quickly, but initially it was just very innocent. There's a lot of cottage laws that allow people to make things out of their home and not a kitchen, a commercial kitchen. But in our case, since we're a fresh food refrigerated, we did need to use a licensed kitchen for that.
Would you consider entering into this entrepreneurial opportunity a turning point in your life?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, it was a huge, yeah, definitely a huge risk. Uncharted territory for us owning a food business. We've helped others in the past, or she's done catering on, you know, here and there, but not anything, nothing on a consistent basis. So it was a definite turning point and a definite leap of faith. Because again, we just took a very small tax return. I think it was $1,500 and invested it in ingredients, packaging and equipment.
And that just, was roughly 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's going to be 8 years. Wow.
That's amazing. You know, I'm remiss in my responsibilities here as a podcast leader to have not asked you to put the URL out. What? Where can people find out about your company?
And
hear more about what you have done.
Yeah, thank you. So it's a real simple website called gethummus.com. So GETHUMMUS.com.
Gethummus.com. And the name of your company, for all that are interested in that, is what?
Yeah, so the product name is Humana Hummus. So H-U-M-M-U-N-A. Not Humana, but Humana.
Humana. Is there a kind of a definition background, or was that just a tech, you know, as a marketing person, did you just put, how many M's can I put in this? And how many, you know, how did you come up with the name?
So we brainstormed, we came up with a number of different names, started spitballing different ideas. And the one that stuck was Humana, and it was derived from the Jackie Gleason show, where Jackie Gleason, when he would get, you know, kind of a deer in a headlight scene where he just didn't know what to do, he would just start saying, Humana, Humana, Humana. So there you go. Pretty simple.
Well, it reminds me of the marketing piece on Saturday Night Live early on in the startup of that show decades ago, when they brought in all the different people and it was a play on the marketing people for Smucker's, and you know, Smucker's brand of jelly internationally was, with a name like Smucker's, you know, it has to be good. And I remember thinking, wait, so the typical Saturday Night Live humor was, you know, a group of guys determining what would be the potentially the worst possible name. So it was like, with mangled baby ducks, you know it has to be good. With painful rectal itch, you know it has to be good. Things like that. And I and yet to have one that has joy with it. I mean, the Jackie Gleason humor, the Humana, the opportunity to have you guys determine what your name would be was great. And for 8 years now, Humana has been all over the place. And do you mind me asking you to brag a little bit about the kinds of food enterprises that have picked up Humana and that are making it, you know, really a common item for a lot of people who are purchasing it?
Yeah, I would say for us, our sweet spot comes down to health-related stores, grocery stores. So Boise Co-op, Natural Grocers, and then we have some of the smaller stores, mom-and-pop shops like Atkinson's, Village Market in Ketchum. And then we also do have a couple of the larger Albertsons, that carry us as well. The Albertsons, yeah. So the new format of Albertsons on Broadway and Eagle.
And I assume other places that Albertsons is probably examining it nationwide.
Right.
So with that, suddenly you're having this wave upon wave of success coming your way. How are you guys handling that?
You know, that is the challenge, is growth without, as they say, biting off more than you could chew. So we've purposely taken it real slow and just reinvested the money that we make and not really take from the business. So I continue to work full time and then waiting for an opportunity to where we could both dive in full time. But we're just not there yet. Getting close, but not there yet. So we're being real patient with it. It is difficult. I mean, there's no way to get around the fact that, you know, there are some seasons where you're going, well, is this where we pivot? And, again, the Lord's been, you know, guiding us, bringing people into our lives to both encourage us and educate us. And Dennis, you have been a huge part of that. And I do appreciate, Savannah and I both are blessed by your wisdom and your friendship.
Well, it's a joy to see you guys grow. It's a joy to see what you've done in impacting people's lives. Thank you. Well, what's been the most surprising thing to you about seeing this idea become a reality?
I would say it's surprising, but not unexpected. And that is watching a product evolve and grow. And knowing at the same time, this is beyond us, knowing that, you know, the one that opened the door continues to open doors. And that's our Lord and Savior. And so constantly recognizing that and using that as a way to confidently move forward, as opposed to, you know, being timid. So knowing who got us to start, knowing who got us out of the gates and who continues to open up doors for us has been a huge confidence builder for us. Because again, you know, this products come and go all the time. And honestly, it doesn't matter how good or bad they are. So I just am so grateful and so blessed. We are so blessed that the product continues to gain a lot of, traction and growth and the comments coming back from both old and new customers is just, it's awesome. I mean, it really is encouraging. So I think just recognizing, you know, having that perspective constantly just keeps us not only grounded, but confident that we're in the right spot. No matter how good or bad the time is, you know, it gives us confidence.
George, what advice do you have for the entrepreneur that's watching this or listening to it, regarding their idea that's in a early stage that they want to take, whether it's food or service or some product, that is a part of the turning point that changed for you? What advice would you give them? Are there two or three bullet points that you can say, yeah, this really helped us?
Yeah, I would definitely, first and foremost, get on your knees. That's one, and pray. Definitely seek advice early and often and consistently. But I think one of the most simplest things that we've done from the beginning and today is not afraid to say, don't be afraid to say no. When opportunity arises, explain that. Yeah, so when opportunity arises and you get requests to be here and be there, or get into a store, or with a distributor, really vet the situation, make sure that their requirements match your ability or your capacity, and again, going back to that old adage, don't bite off more than you can chew, and just be okay with saying no, because sometimes it's not a definite no, it's just a no for now and maybe a yes in the future. And I found that really helpful, especially with some of the larger brands out there, the big stores that say, well, you know, we want to bring you on, but here's what we need you to do. And it's like, well, sorry, can't do that because we don't have that kind of capacity or we don't have the ability to do the things you're asking us to do. So for now, it's no. And then all of a sudden, you see them go, whoa, wait a minute. But we really want this on our shelf. Okay, well, here's what we can do. Is that good enough? So the power of no, as they say.
The power of no. When you think about in your own life the habits and skills that you developed over the years, what specifically in your marketing background helped you take this idea of Humana and develop it into something that an Albertsons, an international leader in food products, would go, hey, yeah, let's do a sample it here and let's do see how it would work there. What skills for marketing worked?
I know this sounds pretty basic, but I always use it in sales, and that is God gave me two ears and one mouth. So I'm going to do more listening than speaking. So for us, the farmer's market was invaluable, you know, inexpensive to enter, but priceless to be there in the fact that we got to hear feedback all the time. And we took that feedback sincerely and incorporated that into our product. So whether it was packaging, whether it was flavor, you know, ingredients or whatnot. So we were just always open to, you know, tweaking what we had to match the market that was buying our product. So I think listening is to me, one of the key ingredients to sales and marketing, both, not just marketing or not just sales. It's just listening.
What about the packaging side of it? How did you determine this hummus would best be sold or bought, better yet, because of this container versus that container? How'd you work that all out?
So, funny story. So, to answer your question in a short way, trial and error. So, we went through, I want to say, five iterations of packages. And one of them was kind of scary but funny at the same time. So we were at a farmer's market up in Ketchum, and we were getting great reviews from people instantly from trying it and you know, buying it. And then on the way back, when I think it was on a Tuesday they had their market, we get a call because we had our phone number and address on our label, right? So we get a call, and this person calls up and she goes, hey, not to alarm you, but after opening your package and dipping into it, we bit into something that wasn't hummus. And it was just like, oh my gosh. So instant fear, right? We're just starting out. So we quickly found out that the manufacturer didn't do a clean job of taking off the extra plastic of the container when they, you know, finished it and packaged it and shipped it. So
it was a piece of plastic that was in it?
Yeah, piece of plastic. As far as design and everything like that, I would say we were extremely, again, blessed to have our oldest daughter, who's a graphic designer and a freehand designer, put that together for us. And she is so creative. So we gave her our ideas, and then she made it happen with the logo, which I love. And it seems to be well received by our audience. So we're blessed to have an in-house graphic designer.
George, there are a lot of people that are hearing you, and they're going, gosh, I would really like to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I came from a family that didn't have money. I came from a family that didn't have marketing background. I came from a family. How am I going to take my idea and make it happen? Give us a little background on your background and Savannah's background, because you didn't come from either one of those well-financed backgrounds. You didn't come from a heavy entrepreneurial emphasis, did you?
So for Savannah, her family, so she's first generation. I'm second and first, depends on which parent, right?
Generation as in what regard?
Oh, as far as immigrants to the country. So her parents immigrated here from the Middle East. My father immigrated from Europe, and my mom was born in East LA. So I'm you know, for a second generation on my mom's side. But long story short, entrepreneurial background. My wife's side, definitely. They were all very entrepreneurial in a totally different category. Theirs was jewelry. But the finance part, you're 100% right. You know, it was definitely self-financed, again, through a small amount from a tax return 1 year, and, you know, took $1,500 and made a go of it. And
what about your mom and dad? What are their backgrounds?
Yeah. So my dad was by trade a cobbler. He was a shoemaker in France, came over to the States and worked blue collar. My mom was a school teacher for 35 plus years. So
a lot of stability, a lot of staying within the boundaries. How did the folks on both your side and Savannah's side react to the idea that you were going to start a hummus business?
Yeah. I'm sure they thought we were a little crazy, to be honest. But, you know, they encouraged us. They would ask us once in a while, how's it going? You know, it's like, yeah, it's good. You know, so we knew that we couldn't talk too much about it because it was kind of out of their lane. We just kept moving on because we felt led to do it and still do. And through the good and bad times of it. So hopefully that answered that question.
Well, the pandemic, how did that impact your business?
Yeah, quite different than we thought. We were expecting a pretty sizable pullback during that time frame. But actually what happened is, since we were already in stores and people started to not go out to eat as much, but started staying in and eating, our sales actually didn't get hit. So they continued to buy hummus because it was part of their diet. And
what brands or what tastes do you offer? What different styles?
Yeah, so that we have more flavors coming out, but right now on the market, we have four flavors. We have our traditional, which is a Lebanese Israeli spice mix. We have a roasted garlic, self-explanatory. We have a Sicilian, which is a sun-dried tomato basil with a balsamic reduction. My mouth is starting to water, sorry.
My mouth is starting to water as you tell me about this. So, hey, do we have any chips around here? I need some hummus. Keep going. What's the next one?
And then the fourth one there is our jalapeno cilantro. So that's my favorite. I like a little heat. And the good news is we locally source our garbanzo bean from Rupert, from a no-spray farm. And we get our herbs from Purple Sage Farms in Middleton. And
all local, organically produced products that have come together for people to taste the quality in it. Because I got to tell you, I became a fan. It's one of the reasons why, obviously, I love you. I love your bride. But I'm telling you, I love your hummus. You know, I can't. Whenever we have an event and Susan picks up a hamana, and it's out there, it's one of the first things to go. I mean, people are just like, you know, what's he put in this stuff? It's addictive. And I'm not just saying that because you're on and you're my friend. I'm saying this because it is good quality.
Thank you.
Wonderful product. So, well, George, I know we're coming in for a landing on our episode, but I want you to speak directly to that man or that woman that is on the verge of starting their business. Mm-hmm. And I want you to encourage or maybe challenge them to either move forward or to not, because business is not for the faint of heart. And for people that are believing a lie that they've got a great widget, but they have no follow through on how to produce it, could end up being a heartbreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. My encouragement would be is test it, you know, get an audience, whether it's a farmer's market audience or some opportunity to present your product and have people try it. I think that's, again, priceless. It was priceless for us. The other part is, don't be afraid to grow slow. Don't, you know, again, going back to that comment of the power of no, just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? If someone asks you, hey, we would really like you in our store, but here are our stipulations. If it doesn't match you, don't do it. Other opportunities will come up down the road. And then just, you know, reinvest, you know, stay. Again, for some people, they agree with this, other people don't, but just stay working in your day job and just take the money that you earn from your business initially and just keep putting it back in and just grow it and try and finance it yourself as much as you can until a point where you can't. Because again, when it, you know, you're going to get to that point where you do need financing because the demand is so high, but yet your supplies are low and you gotta make those match. But yeah, pretty simple advice, but you know, and like I said, you know, if you feel led to do it by God, and it looks impossible, it's probably the right thing. You know, I know that doesn't sound right logically, but if God's leading you, he's the God of impossible. So, got to lean into that.
George, this really has been a thrill for me. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about the opportunities that you've presented, not just to the people that are buying your product, not just to the companies that are selling your product, but also to the people who understand the reason why. I often explain to people about your hummus company, as I have regarding In-N-Out Hamburger. You know, In-N-Out Hamburger is very clear about their faith. You can't pick up an In-N-Out glass and not, or a cup and not look underneath it and not see scripture in it. Yeah, you can't eat their potatoes, their french fries, without seeing a scripture in it. The Snyder family that started In-N-Out was very clear about their commitment to Christ. Why is it in your life, in the Snyder's life, have you gone in the marketplace and said, here I stand, tethered to this pole called faith, and I will not be moved? Why have you done that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't see life without him, you know. So if I can't see life without him, then that means he's in every part of my life. If I don't allow him into a part of my life, that's on me, right? So, sorry for not a long-winded answer on that, but I just, you know.
That's actually a very profound answer.
Yeah.
So give us that URL again.
So it's www.gethummus.com, H-U-M-M-U-S.
That's fantastic. George Soroyan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Savannah, your bride, has been a great joy to our family and to so many families out there. She's the cook in the kitchen. You're the bookkeeper in the background. Both of you together make a wonderful company. Hummina is a terrific product, and I highly recommend it and hope that as your success grows, that you'll be on the show again on our podcast to tell us what is happening in the next phase and maybe what next products you're going to be, maybe even bringing some in studio.
Ooh. Yeah.
For us to what? Taste test? Is that right? Did I get that right? And we'll make sure that our wonderful producer, Grady, will be key to it and be able to say thumbs up or double thumbs up. There's no thumbs down, not in this world. George, thanks so much. God bless you. Appreciate you being with us today.
Love you, Dennis. Thank you.